Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Theater 10 podcast, a podcast where we, two film students today, talk about whatever movies opened in wide release 600 theaters or more exactly 10 years ago. I am one of your co-hosts for today, Owen Larkin. Joining me as always is...
Matthew Pifko. Is this our first time with just two of us?
Yeah. It's very casual. It's like a phone call with a friend or something.
Yeah. Get a coffee, you know, sit, look out the window.
Yeah.
It's a fireside chat.
Yes. Today, we are looking at the weekend of July 22nd, 2011, in which we have two wide releases this weekend. One of them... Okay, we'll go over it. Our first number one at the box office this weekend is Captain America: The First Avenger, with $65 million opening weekend. I don't know about the rest of you all, but Matt and I, we feel a little bit tired talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's getting tired. It's getting tired.
Like, I think it's really just emphasized by the fact that, like, you know, we did our Thor episode back in May. Then, you know, there's, like, a new TV show every week. Then Black Widow came out. And now we're just like, oh, my God. How much more can we consume? It's just like, oh, my God. How much can we take?
It's crazy that back in 2011 we were getting two of these in one year. And it just goes to show how long this has been going on. It's been more than 10 years. It hit like the 10-year mark 2 years ago, maybe.
Iron Man was 2008, so that was the...
Which I did see in theaters. That was fun.
I don't think I've ever brought this up on the actual podcast, but that was the first time I had the idea that I was like, there should be a podcast where someone talks about whatever movies come out 10 years ago, was the opening weekend of, like, when it was the 10-year anniversary of Iron Man 1.
Oh.
Mainly because I was like, Iron Man 1 is a movie that, like, changed the culture in a lot of ways. But then you look at, like, what opened alongside it, and it's, like, what happens in Vegas and stuff like that. And it's just, like, things that don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for that, Marvel, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work through my utter exhaustion and boredom and, like, try to form, like, coagulate an opinion on this movie. I don't know. It's bad. Like, it's bad. A lot of people like to justify this one as, like, a really good one and, like, very earnest and, like...
Yeah.
Again, this is going to become a running theme with me on this podcast. Fuck you and your earnesty. I don't give a shit. Earnest about war propaganda? We really don't give a fuck. This is one of those movies where the concept is corny. So they had to sort of go about a reinvention of the Captain America mythos, because, like, I think at the time this came out, it would be hard to do just, like, a straight-up Captain America movie. I guess, I mean, it wasn't, like, a super politically tense time, but, like, a year before, you know, the Mitt Romney-Obama election, so it's not, like... totally not political. What am I trying to say? Point is that Captain America had to, like, actually be, like, in universe a political propaganda tool, and then break away from that to become a political propaganda tool. Like, what I really don't get about this movie is that, like,
it is kind of crazy that just, like, how apolitical the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Captain America is in a lot of ways. Like, they've never really...
I think the Winter Soldier is the closest they come to an attempt.
Yeah.
It's not political. It's fake political, but it is like pretending to be a political movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first Captain America, a clever look, I'll give it to them. It's clever to do like he actually has to like go around touring in a silly little costume and become.
That's the best part of the movie.
Yeah. It's like he has to become a pawn of the state, but then it's like when he breaks away from that, he just becomes the real life version of what he was advertising. Like,
yes.
It's like a parody where he punches Nazis, and it's like, oh, that's so silly. Captain America, like, what a goofy idea. And then he goes in his silly little red, white, and blue costume and then punches a bunch of Nazis with lasers. Like,
yes, there's, and that's the climax of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is no, like, it tricks you into thinking there's a subversion, but it's just a delayed subversion. It's like under the layer of propaganda, there is just propaganda with 2011 CGI. I don't know. What else? The Red Skull, we love you, Hugo Weaving.
Yes.
I'm happy that he didn't return for the other one.
Happy and that then, when it's just some other guy doing an impression of Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, isn't it someone funny who's in the next, in Infinity War? I feel like it was someone funny.
I don't remember who it is.
I'm going to go look it up right now. But, Hugo Weaving's, like, pretty good in this movie, I won't lie.
Yeah, but, like, Hugo Weaving's just always reliable.
Yeah. I do love the
moment. That's why he's Megatron in Transformers.
Yeah, he's good in that. I do love when he, like, rips off his face and the Red Skull thing is underneath.
Yes.
I think they could have gone more body horror with that, but, you know.
Especially because the movie's very much, you know, trying to be, like, Indiana Jones-esque. And that's, like, the only part that, like, reaches, you know, the face melting at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, you know, like, Joe Johnston, who directed this movie, has been chasing, you know, that Spielberg, Zemeckis, you know, like, corny, like, I don't even know, crowd pleaser. And this is very much in line with that in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, very much a hack, I would say. But, like, you know, not, like, the worst kind of hack.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are worse hacks in the world. Yeah. I won't lie. I mean, everyone likes to talk about, like, The Rocketeer, right? That's his other movie?
Yeah. He did The Rocketeer. He did Jumanji. He did Jurassic Park 3. Right. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, not a great track record. Not a great track record, in my estimation. Yeah, I mean, like, fine.
The Nutcracker in the Four Realms, of course.
Right. You know, I always used to mix him up with Joe Wright. I feel like, I mean, they don't really...
Very Joe Wrong of you.
Yeah, they don't occupy the same space, but they were both, like, guys who had spotty track records, did exclusively studio movies, and were, like... applauded on r/movies, so
yes,
that's maybe why I got them mixed up. But I like Joe Wright a lot more. I don't know, Joe Johnson, this movie's horribly directed. It looks like shit. It's so cheap looking.
It's very brown.
It's very, like, brown.
It's very, like, light brown.
Like, when people talk about, like, how far the MCU has come, it's, I mean, yeah. Or do they, or I don't know, is the narrative
I especially, like, think, and I know that this was, like, one of my points in the Thor, when I was talking about Thor, that I think that movie actually does look pretty good, this one did not.
They both look like shit, like, sorry.
No, Thor is, like, color and stuff, and
yeah, but, like, it looks, like, cheap, like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
All right. I mean,
I do agree that this movie doesn't look very, very good.
It just, yeah. Oh, by the way, the guy who plays Red Skull is Ross Marquand from The Walking Dead, and a couple other things. He was Paul Newman on Mad Men.
Oh.
Like the real Paul Newman, apparently.
That's funny.
Yeah. So he's been in a couple things, but not at all like Hugo Weaving-esque.
No.
Interesting choice to replace him. Do we ever know why he's... I don't know. There's probably some dorky comic book answer for why he's on
the mountain. He grabs the Tesseract at the end of the movie and gets, like, zapped out.
Right.
Yes.
But is the Tesseract even the same stone as the Soul Stone? Isn't it like the other stone? Isn't it the blue one?
Yeah, it's the blue one.
So why is he up on the mountain? They just needed someone to explain shit. I don't know.
Yes, they needed someone to drop some exposition.
All right.
And for nerds in the theater opening to go, oh.
So, yeah, Captain America. Peggy, total, like, nothing of a character.
Did you watch Agent Carter, Matt?
No, I did not watch Agent Carter.
Agent Carter season one was a little fun.
I never really watched, like, the MCU television series, even, like, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and such. I think I watched, like, the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because back in the
much
day...
Much like everyone. Yeah. It was like, what is this shit?
Back in the day, I was a Whedon head, so I was like, okay, maybe this is worth checking out. And then it was like, oh, his brother's doing it, and he just had slapped his name on it. So, yeah, it was not good. I don't know. Yeah, this movie looks like shit. It is shit. It's just Chris Evans looks like a fucking horrifying monster when he's in his little
it's
CGI
so funny
body.
The CGI they do to
like,
him
it looks his head is so big, it's so weird, it's so weird. Stanley Tucci plays his Jewish doctor, right, who gets shot.
Yes
We love you, Stanley Tucci,
always fun to see.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones is like the army guy.
I forgot he was in this. Yeah.
I mean, if you're like, I guess I need an army guy.
Did you see that? You saw the trailer for that new movie with Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones, and Zach Braff? Yeah. That looks...
looks... How so do... terrible. That's the thing that, like, a trailer like that, Matt, is truly just a moment where I'm like... We're like, what exists in theatrical business anymore? It's just so... Yeah. So weird that it's only, like, the big, big, big stuff, and then just stuff that just falls through the cracks. Like that.
Yeah, it is quite weird.
Yes. Bucky Barnes falls from a train.
Yes, Bucky Barnes falls from a train. It's very sad that he died there. I always wished that Sebastian Stan had more of a career. But
yeah, it's just this Rachel getting married in Black Swan. Yeah.
A little wasted potential. I was always intrigued by his character. I was like, what if he was a Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
And what if people wrote fan art and fan fiction about him for years and years and years? Yeah, the best thing Captain America gave us, in my estimation, is Stucky fan fiction, because I don't know, I just think it's funny watching Marvel like dance around being gay, so that's fun. Yeah, and interacting with their horrible fan base.
Yeah,
of 13-year-olds. Yeah, so...
Even though they make, they aggressively make Captain America very heterosexual in this movie.
Yeah. No, I remember people at the end of, like, Endgame were like, oh my god, they're gonna kiss. I was like, yes, that's the card they've been sitting on, you guys. All this time, they were just waiting for the Captain America gay reveal, and that will be what ends the franchise. He goes back in time to kiss boys.
Yep. To
All right. Well, do you have anything else to say about Captain America, the Winter Soldier?
The First Avenger.
Right, the First Avenger.
Yeah, not really. Like, this movie's whatever.
That's the thing I'll give Winter Soldier credit for, is, like, at least by then the previs team had their shit worked out so that, like, the fight sequences are kind of fun. Like, this movie just, like, I don't
That's
know.
That's definitely the best of
It's a very plastic movie.
Yeah, it is. And not, like, in a fun plastic way, like G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
That's a fun plastic movie.
Although these movies do have very similar aesthetics, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
I'd say that's mostly fun because I think it's just funny to watch Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Channing Tatum go head-to-head, along with Sienna Miller.
Of course.
Much more fun cast there.
Yes.
Snake Eyes coming out.
Yep, I'll be going. We'll be seated this weekend. Yeah.
Grace Randolph loved it.
Exactly. Yeah. We have to support Henry Golding.
We have to support him.
Yeah.
I'll be supporting him. Yep. Okay. All right.
He wakes up in modern times at the end of the movie.
In fake Times Square.
In fake Times Square, where there's a giant Baskin Robbins and the Daniel Radcliffe musical or whatever he was in.
How to Succeed in Business Without
Rich. Yes, there's a giant billboard for that outside. And then the movie literally, the post-credit scene from the movie is literally an Avengers trailer.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy how all these, like, first Marvel movies just look like shit. Like, I'm thinking of the Avengers. I'm like, oh, that also looks like
shit. That movie really looks like shit. Like, that is the most of the, like, wow, this really does look like a TV show.
Yeah. It's crazy, yeah. I mean, they were working with, like, real money at that stage, and it still just looks like total garbage. Yeah. So at least they fixed that a little bit. I mean, the movies don't look great, but they look better.
This is the last one that's distributed by Paramount.
Right, right.
Yeah, Disney takes over
distribution. They fumbled their fucking bag with that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. No one's ever fumbled a bag like that.
Like, you could, like, with the state Paramount was in, like, 2009 when, like, Disney bought Marvel, like, they easily could have cracked a deal to be like, let us in on some of the profits of all this stuff.
Yeah. Like, Sony. But no. Sony did.
Yeah, like, Sony did.
Thank God Sony did, because now I get to see Tom Hardy Venom in a movie with Spider-Man.
Yeah. No, that's the thing that's exciting about Sony's superhero universe or whatever.
Is that they can constantly fuck with them.
Yes, they're the only people left who can, like, fuck with Marvel characters. Like, Fox could do it back in the day. You know, like, all the random, like, Ghost Rider, Punisher movies, like, all that stuff. Like, we're just not going to get that anymore. Except from Sony.
Yeah. Thank you, Sony.
Yes.
I was, because, like, back-to-back, when I was seeing Escape Room 2 the other day, we got, like, Snake Eyes and Venom Let There Be Carnage trailers. I was like, all my men, back in the cinema.
Tom Hardy getting a story credit on Venom Let There Be Carnage.
Yes, that's so why they're exciting. So fucking gay in this one. Yeah.
So exciting.
Them making breakfast together. It's so cute.
I remember this movie, Captain America First Avenger, came out during Comic-Con weekend for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a bad weekend to drop this movie, but okay.
Not genius. I thought Thor was the one that dropped. All the nerds are away. Wait, isn't Thor the one that dropped during Comic-Con?
No. Thor is their May, first weekend of May movie, which they always do now.
Okay.
Do you remember the YouTube channel where it was like, I'm a Marvel and I'm a DC, where it's like the two action figures going up and like...
Yes, I do remember that.
I think I only remember that because that's, like, in the Captain America versus Green Lantern video, I think. Very funny back in the day.
Did Green Lantern also go during Comic-Con? Play during
Comic-Con? Green Lantern was in June.
Okay.
And classically got worse reviews than the other movie that came out that weekend, Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Right. I remember Mr. Popper's Penguins more fondly, so... I'll support that. Okay, let's go on to our other movie, because I'm done talking about Marvel. I really don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do this. Let's talk about a more fun movie.
Yes, and the next Marvel adjacent movie we'd have to talk about would be Avengers 1 in May of next year.
Okay, so we get a little break.
A long break, yeah. All
right. Well, thank God for that.
The other movie we're talking about this weekend is a film that would not go to theaters anymore, I don't think.
And it's sad. And it's sad.
The film is called Friends with Benefits.
Starring Natalie Portman, right? Oh, how could I make that mistake? Oh, and of course you're talking about Friends with Benefits. I thought you were talking about No Strings Attached with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher, a film about two friends who decide to make their relationship sexual.
Exactly.
How could I ever confuse those two?
It also does not help that Natalie and Mila Kunis being kind of similar is very much a plot point in the film that was released a year prior.
Black Swan, right. Well, at least it's not as weird because, you know, No Strings Attached came out years after Friends with Benefits, right?
Yeah, a good 6 months.
Oh, Oh, so these two exactly identical movies with nearly identical leads came out in the span of 6 months? That's.
Yes.
That's strange. Coming from Hollywood, who is known for their original
Who would have thought?
ideas. Okay, so yes. The premise of this movie, Friends with Benefits, is what if there were friends
With
with
benefits.
benefits?
And that's the movie.
And it grossed $143 million, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong.
149 worldwide, yeah.
Good job, Milo. We
Budget of
love you.
35, yeah, that's a hit.
Yeah. And I don't know. What were your thoughts on it, though?
I don't think the movie's very good, but it is kind of refreshing, you know? Like, I don't think it's that good of a movie, but just seeing a movie where it's just like, here's two attractive looking people, going through the motions of a rom-com, and it's fun. I don't know.
Here's two attractive people, watch them make fuck. Like it
Yes.
sells itself.
Yes.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was
Yeah.
cute. It was cute. I don't think it's really good, but
Me neither.
I did think it was cute.
Yeah.
If I saw
Perfect
this,
background entertainment, in my
yes, if I
opinion.
or like AC, like if I wanted to get out of the heat during the middle of
Right.
July and I went to see this, I would be perfectly satisfied.
Yes.
Like perfect, like Sunday movie, I feel.
Absolutely.
Or like if you wanted to like go out with your friends and there was nothing going on in
Or didn't want to
suburbia.
see any of that nerd shit.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. No, whoever went to see this instead of Captain America, salute. Salute. So Captain America makes how much?
65,
And this makes how much?
18,
Oh, all right.
and well, Harry Potter is in number 2 with 47,
Right. Okay.
so that's still doing well. It dropped 72% this weekend, but it's
So
still
this has a
doing
good hold then, right? If 18 to 149.
well. That's worldwide. It makes 55 domestic.
All right.
So, yeah, it holds okay. It's actually interesting. We'll talk when we go over what the movies are next week. I'll have more to say on that, on
Okay.
what this movie's hold being interesting. But yeah, it's like this movie is very much a perfect movie to have on the background on that and Netflix,
Yeah.
which is where we watched it.
I might I yeah. I mean, should I start with the good? I'll start with the good.
Sure.
I think that the dialogue is fun. I was surprised going into it. I was like, okay, this is like pretty snappy. Like,
It is pretty snappy.
everyone kind of talks like they're in a combination of like a Seinfeld episode and like a cartoon. Like
Yes.
it's very, very quick. They answer finish each other's sentences. Even I thought the beginning, the opening was quite
I was,
fun.
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The opening was pretty fun, and
The little switcheroo.
I wasn't expecting,
So those of you who haven't seen Friends with Benefits, let us fill you in. The movie opens with the Screen Gems logo, and then it is tabbed down and minimized
you
on
see a
Justin.
hand come in, and
Yeah.
you're like, what the fuck is going on? And
It's
then it's
minimized
minimized,
on
and
Justin
you're like, oh
Timberlake's like
shit.
giant iPad.
Yeah.
Because he's a web designer. Duh, he's
Yes.
an art director.
Yes.
That's what Justin Timberlake does. That's what he looks like. So anyway, he's like at work and then his girlfriend calls and he's like, "Oh my God, I'm late." He makes one of the guys borrow his pants. There's antics. He's racing there and then we are cross-cutting with like Mila Kunis who's like, "Oh my God, like can you get here already? Come on, I'm waiting for Pretty Woman. Like the movie's starting." And then he's
Yes.
like pulling up and then who arrives? Andy Samberg. She's
What a
not
good bit.
Dating Justin Timberlake. They're on opposite coasts. And Justin Timberlake is dating who other than Emma Stone?
Yes, who was in this film's directors, Will Gluck's previous film, Easy A.
And what a fun cameo. Both of them. It was nice to see both of their
Yes,
faces.
very fun.
Yeah.
I do like that Mila Kunis does like a barfing motion at the sound of John Mayer's name later in the movie. Emma Stone's a little too obsessed with John Mayer in this film.
It was funny though. She I think she fared well.
Oh yes, we love Emma Stone. Yeah. Always delightful. But
she's like, "It's your body is a fucking wonderland." You, what does she say? She's like, "You might as well shit on my face than make me miss my body is a wonderland."
John fucking Mayer.
It's John fucking Mayer, baby. Yes. You know what? Emma Stone and Andy Samberg, they both deserve better than these main characters because they are kind of assholes. And that's why they decide to sleep with each other without any strings attached and be friends with benefits.
It's true.
So yeah, the dialogue was fun. It's snappy. It moves along at a steady pace. You know, like if I was reading this for script coverage, I would say consider, but with revisions.
it's a very easily made movie, you know, where it's just like, here's two guys and they're gonna fall in love, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I will say that I'm trying to think of more good things to say. I think, like, the first half of it is fun. I like the supporting cast. I like her mom is quite fun.
Patricia, like, Clarkson.
Yeah, she's
love,
like,
to see it.
She's like, it's the 70s. Like, we back then we were snorting glue during pregnancy, so you guys can fuck all you want. And then when they're talking in one scene, Bob, Ted, Carol, and Alice is on in the background. It's a fun one.
Yes. No, this movie does the thing where I'm like, where it's just like easily just like a pretentious director in the background. Like, okay, here's like our movie posters we need to have in this random characters scene, even though it doesn't really make any sense. And then watch Bobcat.
That's
really funny.
It's fun. Yeah. I also like gay Woody Harrelson. I think he's kind of fun.
Yes, he is funny. The jokes do not land, but he is funny.
There's a lot of gay panic jokes. I think also, like, there's like four gay panic jokes because there's him repeatedly asking him if he's gay. Then Mila Kunis is like, and I told him that you're gay to set him up with your brother.
Yes.
And then she's also like, you wanted my finger in your booty. And then he's like, I just wanted you to circle it. So, yeah. Clearly, Will Gluck has some things to figure out.
There's also like some, you know, 2011 like subtle transphobia where it's like the lines where it's like, oh, I hope he's not a girl or whatever.
Yeah, they drop an R slur at one point when a man is looking at a tree. that poor guy, he was just looking at a tree. Well, then he ends up screwing over Mila Kunis, which is not cool.
Yeah,
love when she's talking to him and she's like, let's be friends. Actually, fuck you. Throws a coffee. That was good.
Yeah.
Mila Kunis is good in this. I liked her.
She is. Very, very charming.
Anyway, so that brings us to my negative, which is Justin Timberlake. I do not like this man. He annoys me. I don't think he's cute.
He should not be the lead of movies.
He looks like mini Will Schuster. no, he just annoys the shit out of me. And I know he's a bad person in real life too, because he fucked over Janet Jackson and ruined her career, which is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then stole his music from black people. But yeah, in this movie, aside from career stuff, in this movie, he is just not very likable. I don't think he's very charming.
Yeah.
He's not a really good actor. And like, hey, you don't have to be like the hottest guy on the planet to star in a rom-com. Like Billy Crystal's in the best rom-com of all time, and he's not that much of a looker. But you have to be able to like have chemistry. And I just am not getting it from Mr. Timberlake. I think that Ashton Kutcher would have been better here.
Yeah, I've said, I mean, I feel like it's pretty, a lot of people have said this, but like, Justin Timberlake really does, like, he does work in, you know, the smaller supporting roles, I think. Like,
yeah, he's great in The Social Network. I'm not going to
Sean Parker, incredible. Inside Llewyn Davis, I even think he's a little bit funny in Bad Teacher, which
came out a month prior.
He's a little funny in that. But like, should not be the lead on a poster. We'll also see this later this year when we talk about In Time. Not too excited for that one.
I forgot that came out this year. I saw that. Yeah. It was not good.
It is not good. Another thing I have to say about this movie, this is a movie I forget where you're like, oh, so this is what 2011 looked like a lot. When it, a central plot point of this movie is that Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake keep ending up in flash mobs.
Yeah. That was so funny. When it, they, when she first brings him to it, he's like, this is just, it's like Oprah. Mob. Yeah, it's a flash mob. Trademark. And then he's like, okay, I will stay. This city, it's zany as fuck. It's so quirky. Yeah. So the flash mob plot point. And then, of course, he wins her over with a flash mob.
Spoiler yes, with alert. A big flash mob at the end.
Yeah.
They should have done some planking as well to really date this one.
They should have done the Harlem Shake. That's actually a few years later, I think.
That's a 2013, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not there yet. We're not there. Yeah, what does he do it to? It's a closing time, right?
Yes, he does closing time.
Because he's singing that in bed to her. She's like, third. He's like, let me sing you some Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, he's doing that. And it's then not Third Eye joke Blind. About how it's not Third Eye Blind, yes. Which is a pretty funny bit.
Yeah. Good setup and payoff for that ending song. Not really a great song. It reminds me of frat parties, but I guess that is kind of the point. They say that in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. It is self-aware.
But the flash mob thing, it's a great little piece of 2011 nostalgia.
I also love, because that first flash mob takes place in also in Times Square, where the end of Captain America takes place.
Right.
And you can see, because I love when movies go to Times Square, because you can literally date exactly when they shot this.
Yeah.
And you can see up on the Disney store that they're promoting Toy Story 3. So, June 2010, flash mobs in New York, Times Square.
Hey. Yeah, so, I don't know really what else to say about this. Pretty it's solid cast, except for Justin Timberlake. Richard Jenkins.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him pop up.
I don't really care about his subplot, but I do like to see Richard Jenkins.
I do like to see Richard Jenkins, but I agree that I don't really care about his subplot. The kid from Modern Family is a magician.
Yes.
Who's also in the to-do list. Sean White is there.
Sean White is there. Another great dating your film sequence. There's a fake movie starring Jason Segel and Rashida Jones that they watch.
See, that was kind of fun, I thought.
Although, it reminded me of the fake trailer in Don John.
I was just going to say.
Channing Tatum and Anne Hathaway are in like some fake rom-com.
Yes, it was giving me a lot of Don John. Although, you know, this is arguably a better movie than Don John.
I would say so, yes.
And the joke here works better, because instead of them making the comparison from rom-coms to porn, they're just like, rom-coms are unrealistic. And I'm like, okay, Will Gluck, I agree with you. Rom-coms are kind of unrealistic. I like the joke about the music. I mean, the biggest problem with this movie is that it is a cliche rom-com. So it's like, I don't really...
It's also too long.
It is too long.
Like, the whole second half does kind of drag when they go to LA.
Totally. I was watching it on 1.5 speed on Netflix. salute to the cinema. Thank you, Netflix, for adding the 1.5 feature to film. I'm really happy with the age of the information.
Results. Yeah.
So I did speed along a little bit. I think just like that's what I was going to say about the first half being kind of fun. Like, it's very snappy. Patricia Clarkson's there. And then, like,
New York is just a better city for rom-coms, I think.
And then when they go to, when they go to his vacation house, it kind of hits the skids.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes, like, a Nancy Meyers light kind of, like, people in paradise complaining about problems and having relationship problems stuff. And it's boring. And it becomes much more of, a traditional rom-com than it was before.
Yeah.
I don't know. And even Mila Kunis can't really save it during that part. So that's kind of unfortunate. I wish they did stay in New York and stay with the main plot. I don't really think it was... Yeah, it just, again, it was not necessary. We could have cut the fat out. Didn't need them to have, a subplot with Richard Jenkins, really.
No, it's not needed.
Yeah.
The end credits of this movie need to be talked about as well.
I did not watch the end credits, so please fill me
in. Okay, so the end credits of the movie is very much going off of the same studio logo, hand swipes away, Screen Gems logo. But the end credits of the movie are the end credits, but it's Mila and Justin Timberlake's hands controlling the end credits, like swiping away the titles. And then in one part, Mila like accidentally speeds up the credits with her hand or something. And then they have to revert back. They also play Pumped Up Kicks during the end credits. Strange inclusion, but again, very 2011.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Besides that, you know, it was an enjoyable time. I miss rom-coms. Yep. I wish that I could go to see terrible rom-coms in the theater still.
I know, it's so sad.
I'm like kind of, I fucked up by missing out on The Photograph. I kind of should have seen that.
Yeah, that movie is just not very good, but it is, you know, it's literally breed. Just a romance. Yeah. I did also watch, I almost finished watching No Strings Attached. In preparation of this episode, I thought that would have been a funny bit, but I did not finish it in time.
Sims says that's better, so.
I don't even think so, really. That movie is, like, very, like, even more generic than this one, I feel like. Like, I was not laughing once during, actually, I was, the one joke I was laughing at while watching No Strings Attached is that Natalie Portman's best friend is Greta Gerwig in the movie. And so there's like a flashback.
That's my best friend. She a real bad. Yeah.
There's like a flashback sequence at the beginning of the movie, where it's like a frat party or whatever, and it's just like Greta Gerwig like doing a bit about like how like all you have to do at a frat party is like just yell that you're drunk and everyone will cheer at you. And that's what she does.
Oh,
it's
Greta.
It's a little funny.
Greta Gerwig studio era. We miss it.
It's funny. It's funny.
Will Gluck did Peter Rabbit and Peter Rabbit 2.
The Runaway?
The Runaway.
Yeah, he's just Sony's guy, I guess.
All right.
Easy A, Friends with Benefits, Annie, Peter Rabbits.
Look, I guess after you make Annie, you should kind of be sentenced to Peter Rabbit jail.
Follow-up. This movie won two People's Choice. It was nominated for two People's Choice Awards.
Deserved.
Favorite comedy movie and favorite comedic movie actress for Mila Kunis.
Yes! No, like, Mila's so good in this. I love her.
Yeah.
She kind of is just, like, such a star. I don't know. She's so likable.
Yeah.
I would watch her in anything. Like, honest to God. The Spy Who Dumped Me is so good. We need a Spy Who Dumped Me sequel. I would go to see that.
Yeah, that was Lionsgate, so I guess it's possible. They'll greenlight anything over there.
Like Saw X?
Yes, Saw X. The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard?
Hitman. What should the next Hitman's Bodyguard movie be called? The Hitman's Wife's Sister's Hitman's Bodyguard?
Yeah.
And her sister can be Penelope Cruz.
Yes.
Think about it.
That feels right for that franchise.
Get it directed by fucking Pedro Almodovar, because you know you got Hayek, Cruz, Banderas is also in it.
Yep.
I mean, like
I did. Three I haven't seen I bet either of the Hitman's Bodyguard movies, but following from a distance, yeah, this all seem logical. This movie has a very detailed Wikipedia page. Don't really know
about
what to make of that.
The plot or the production?
I don't know why there's a themes section on Friends with Benefits. But there is. So
I mean, there's a lot of deep themes about, you know, modernity and relationships and
sure.
Cliche rom-coms with bad music.
I feel like that's all we have on Friends with Benefits. Do you have anything else?
I don't really have anything else. I think this is, if you ever see this at a gas station on DVD, snaps that shit up.
Yeah.
Because it's a worthy watch. Yes. Manola Dargis did like it. And she's never wrong. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Yep.
I did see that someone said Justin Timberlake, quote unquote, exudes the kind of star wattage that put Will Smith on top, which I would have to disagree with.
Yeah,
no. Not really.
Yeah, no. Like, yeah, Will Smith is, like, charming from, like, right when he pops in movies. Yeah. It's like, yeah. He's also like, you sexy. Understand why he's like, a movie star.
I just don't get it with Justin Timberlake. I mean, yeah. This is really...
Justin Timberlake is just, like, trying too hard to be a movie star, yeah. You know?
We're really in peak Timberlake in 2011. That, like, I'm looking at his filmography.
Yeah.
We kind of... We really picked a year. Big one. Yeah. and that's kind of the one that sinks him a little bit, I think.
It does. He does Runner Runner, which is a huge flop in 2013.
Deserved.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's also in The Love Guru. Ow.
Oh, is he? Yeah. What a movie. We got to watch The Love Guru, man.
We do. All right. Kanye West in The Love Guru? Whatever. Okay.
Yes.
Do we have any other comments, or are we letting people leave the theater?
I think we're going to let the people leave the theater a little early today. I don't think we have too much to say on either of these movies, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's a summer weekend. It's fun that there was a time when rom-coms could just coexist in the summer movie season with all the nerd shit. and that goes into the films that we have next weekend as well. Would you like to hear what we will be covering next week?
I would.
Get ready to put your hand in your face for the movie that's number one at the box office next weekend, opening to $36 million and still losing a ton of money. The film is Cowboys and Aliens.
No! That movie's so bad.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
John kind Favreau, of like a funny, I'll see you in
kind
hell.
Of a funny misguided flop, though.
The only other movie in Noah Ringer's filmography is Star of the Last Airbender. yeah. I noticed that yesterday as I was doing my Last Airbender watch. Yeah. For those of you who do not follow my letterbox, Owen and I have been embarking on a Shyamalan-a-thon.
Exactly.
In preparation for Old, which I'll be seeing it tonight.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so
10 o'clock
excited.
Dolby, baby.
I'm going to 8:15. Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to do the Nope trailer?
I really hope so. I would love that if they drop a surprise teaser.
My name is Nope. My number is Nope.
The number two movie next weekend is The Smurfs 2011. I've seen all three of these movies.
Yeah,
for
so
next
far
weekend.
I've seen all of them.
We will be talking about The Smurfs and how the teaser trailer for The Smurfs is just like world exhibits turning blue for some reason.
I remember that. Is The Smurfs also here?
Yes.
So Smurfs versus Did you say
Cowboys
trolls?
And No, The Smurfs.
Okay, I heard it as
Smurfs
trolls.
2011.
Jesus. Okay, The Smurfs.
Katy Perry plays Smurfette.
Yes. Our finest screen talent. Her timeless grace and presence.
And opening at number five next weekend is a movie that I think is pretty cute. I'm excited to talk about it. Crazy Stupid Love.
I've never seen.
Really?
Haven't. So.
Like, that's like a really fun rom-com, in my opinion.
I'm excited that the only movie I have to see next week is Crazy Stupid Love. Although I probably will be doing the Cowboys and Aliens rewatch, because I've not seen that movie in a long time.
Yeah. I watched it earlier this year, because I'm a sucker for pain.
Yeah. That's some sicko behavior. But, fun lineup next week.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's all we got.
Everyone, go watch Friends with Benefits. Do not watch Captain America.
You've already seen it if you care.
If you haven't seen Cars 2 yet, go watch that.
Go watch Cars 2.
We might have a special Cars 2 episode because we missed it and we're really sad about that.
Oh, yeah. And that episode like, we will be devoting a lot of time to Cars 2 and all the lore involved in it. We will make sure we do due diligence to Cars 2 in good time.
Yep. We will be shifting well to that topic.
Okay, I think we should go over some of the other holds at the box office before we leave.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I forgot that we did that.
I'm forgetting the formula.
So Captain America 65, Harry Potter at 47, dropping 72%. Not a very good hold for Harry Potter, but
no.
When you consider just how much that movie's box office is front loaded with midnight and Friday screenings, like, yeah.
I'm sure everyone already saw it. Like,
Saw it opening weekend. Then Friends with Benefits, 18.6. Then Transformers Dark of the Moon, dropping 43% to 12 million. Then Horrible Bosses, 11 million. Zookeeper, 8 million, dropping 29%. The best hold.
I can't believe it's still in there.
It's holding the best of any movie. Yeah.
I guess there aren't a ton of children's movies out right now besides that.
Number 7, Cars 2.
Yes!
5.6 million.
That movie did not do great, did it?
It did not do amazing, no. Especially because the first one was very much a part of the streak of just Pixar. Just,
I mean, I'm sure that Cars 2 still shitted money in merchandise, though.
Oh, yeah, it did. I'm sure the Cars franchise makes 10% of what it takes in from box office sales, and 90% is just toys at the Target. I remember Target just had an entire Cars aisle that was just all Cars stuff at the time. Then number 8 is Winnie the Pooh, dropping 34% to $5 million this weekend. Bad Teacher, number 9, 2.6 million. And number 10, Midnight in Paris, with 1.8 million.
Boo.
Yep, that's what we have. And next week, we have a fun lineup. So, excited to jump into Cowboys and Aliens and Smurfs and Crazy and Stupid and Love.
It's a lot of words in that lineup.
It's going to be a long episode title.
Yeah. Crazy, Stupid Cowboys.
Yeah, Crazy Stupid Cowboys and Smurfs in Love.
With aliens. Okay. Thank you everyone for listening. Let us know in the comments below what your favorite Smurf is. My personal would be Smurfette, because I am a Katy Cat at heart.
I'm very excited to remember who the voice cast of the Smurfs is next week. Because I do not remember, and I know it's just probably insane.
Is it celebrity. Smurfs 1 or Smurfs 2 that has Ooh La La by Britney Spears?
That's Smurfs 2.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Well.
Yes. And I did see the Smurfs in theaters, so we will have trailers next week to talk about. So, thank you all for listening. We will see you next week. And, sometimes, what if there were Friends with Benefits?
What if there were two people who had no strings attached and were friends with benefits? All right. We should get, honestly, a legacy sequel to both of those movies coming out the same year.
A crossover, I think, would be fun. Especially because, Mila Kunis is, married to Ashton Kutcher now.
Yes! And the poster can be Bob, Ted, Carol, Alice, style. All four
of
them.
Yeah, where they're all in bed. Together.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yep.
Right. It writes itself. Come on,
it
Screen
does.
Gems.
It writes itself. Come on, Screen Gems and Paramount Pictures. Get together.
A Paramount Plus exclusive.
Yes, exactly. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.